All right. Welcome to the Underground. Thanks for coming out, guys. All right, so I have a presentation here. It's about 35 minutes long. So you guys want to give me 35 minutes here? You guys going to give that to me? I am super excited about tonight's session, and I just want you to be. I am really, really just thrilled about what I'm bringing tonight. So you guys can be excited beforehand. You know, you can even give tonight's session a round of applause, even right now. Yep. And, you know, if it didn't, meet your expectation, we'll refund your applause here at the door. We'll be like, oh, a little more? Okay. All right. Tonight, we're talking a little bit about the mind. I've done this diagram on the board, as most of my diagrams. Done them and I use them. So I'm just going to go ahead and just throw this right on the board. I'm going to go right to work. And I believe that this is the heart of so much of recovery and of our healing, what I'm going to share tonight. So I want you to just treat this kind of like a salad bar and say, you know, is there something in this tonight for me that I can take home and make real in my life? So I'm going to draw like a big giant triangle on here. And some of you guys are going to recognize this. Okay. And this represents our mind. And then up here, I'm going to draw like a water line, okay, right here. So this is going to represent the conscious mind, subconscious mind. I mean, check it out, right? And that's probably not even accurate as far as the equation. I talked a little bit last week about the guy who wrote, his name's Vince something. He was 15 in the world, like top 15 in the world, downhill skier. And he got a hold of this concept like most Olympic athletes, high-level performers get a hold of this concept. In fact, I've seen this on YouTube before, too. Kind of funny. But high-level performers get a hold of this, and this is where they become champions of whatever it is they're trying to champion. And I want you to know, when I entered the world of recovery, I want to champion my recovery. I want every edge that I can have in this arena. And so we jumped all over this. He wrote a book called The Ant and the Elephant. And it's so interesting because it's about this concept. And the ant is actually the conscious mind. And the elephant is the subconscious mind. And what he is saying in this book is that if you don't get the elephant moving the direction that the ant wants to go, you know, you're out of gas. You know, it's just not going to happen. And so much of recovery in my life has been that my conscious mind, my logic mind, my reason mind, you know, wants to do what's right, wants to go a certain direction, but the whole elephant part of me, the subconscious mind, man, it's just going a whole different direction, right? And so this is kind of a cool concept up here. Let me put up here this little dude, got him standing up here. So here he is. And let's just say he's got a little paddle in the water, right? And he's trying to go this way, right? Let's say this is his goal, right? So for those listening to podcasts, I got a big triangle. I got a water line with just the tip of the triangle sticking out. I got a little dude standing on the top with a little paddle, and he's trying to go towards his goal. So how do you think this is going to go, right? But to change it around a little bit, what if the current is going this way? See, this is what we're up against so often. I'm going to have a real hard go of it, right? This is going to be tough. The subconscious mind is so interesting because people say all the time they have a bad memory. But what it is, what's more true is we really need a better forgettery. Like, we don't really forget anything. We actually remember and log and store everything. Like everything we remember. In fact, some of the people that I studied were actually saying that in the end, when we are stand before the judgment, it says books were opened, right? The books that are opened are actually the subconscious mind, what the Bible calls the heart, and the motives and these concepts and the way you see life, the real motivators behind what we do, that's what's really going to be revealed, is what's going down in the heart. Super interesting, isn't it? Now, it's super cool to realize that the subconscious mind is motivated, or the language it speaks, is very different than the conscious mind. Up here, this is about words. Like, you're hearing me right now. We're all up in our heads. We're all hearing this up here, right? The subconscious mind doesn't speak that language. That's not how it's moved. That's not how it changes. The current doesn't change through words like that. The subconscious mind speaks the language of image, of pictures. Before you knew language, you're watching mom and dad, you're getting the scene, like you're having experiences of the heart, what it feels like to be rejected or accepted. You know, the movers and shakers of our heart, these experiences before language and even after language, this is moved and motivated like when you're sleeping. Your conscious mind is snoring away, subconscious mind wide awake. And what do you see in your life in terms of pictures, images? All these concepts are being thrown at you. The subconscious mind doesn't respond very well to things, directives in the negative. And you can see why. Like, what I mean by it is, how do you think, like, if this moves in pictures, and that's how it relates, how do you think it sees this? Don't eat chocolate. Right? This is like chocolate, right? We get that. And there's a picture of chocolate, right? So when you say don't do drugs, and you try to give it a command in the negative, you know, oftentimes it sees the image and begins moving towards that image or creates feelings around those pictures, and it doesn't hear the don't part. And that's why, like, they talked about certain kinds of physical training. People that get really good at certain kinds of obstacles, they learn to train their mind. They don't say, don't fall off the beam, you know, because they're hearing fall off the beam. It's move straight ahead. Keep your balance. It's a forward motion. In fact, I heard a company talking about this concept where there was an area in this factory where there was microscopic glass in the air, and they workers needed to move through this area. And so they put a sign up that said, don't look up. Microscopic glass. And everybody came through there, was like, you know, and they're getting microscopic glass on them. They're like, okay, we need to rethink this. We need to get this picture down. And so they put a new sign up, and it said, walk straight ahead, microscopic glass in the air. And everybody looked at it, and they walked right on through just like that. And this is what I'm talking about. If you want to be a high-level performer and you want to really get this stuff down, this is the kind of stuff that was eating my lunch as a Christian. Because I was hearing things like, and I may have said these kind of things to people too, but things like, you know, if you're having a struggle walking out your faith and addiction's eating your lunch, you need to just believe more. Or you need to obey more. Do we need to believe? Yeah. Do we need to obey? Yeah. But what's really missing almost always when I talk to people that are really struggling isn't that they don't believe or they don't want to obey. Most of the time it comes down to walking out their union with Christ, their position as a son or daughter of God freely given to you by Him. He's given you this gift, freely given to you. It's yours. He's made you a son. I'm making you a daughter. And they're not seeing it down here. They're not experiencing union with Christ. And I want you to know, when you experience union with Christ in this level, when you're seeing it, in my mornings, I'm looking at a Randall Compton painting in my living room, and I'm on those mountains, and I'm feeling the snow. And I'm standing there with the Lord, and I'm praying over my city, and I'm walking out union with Christ. And I want you to know what ends up happening is the current begins to change. See, this is what I mean. Now, how's this guy going to do? Jesus said, if you make the tree good, its fruit will be good. That's a statement he made. is that crazy? And see, I can hear I'm good until I'm blue in the face, but if I don't see it, make the tree good, its fruit will be good. He's made me a brand new creation. Okay, that's great to know up here. What about here? Big difference. And the scripture, from cover to cover, calls on us to use this ability that we have to image. You have an imaging ability built within you. You can see. You know what? Well, what's your favorite vehicle to ride in? You can see it. Where I last laid my keys. Well, I can't see that. All right. Normally, I can see it. What color is your couch in your living room? Like, we have an ability to image people. You know, I can image colors. It's an ability we have to see things that aren't available for us to see right now in front of us, but I can see it. I'm looking at my happy little dog right now, at my house. I have this ability as a human being that's so profound, I can image things that aren't right here for me to see. I can still see it and actually be moved with powerful emotions as I see it. So the scripture talks about God being your shield, talks about him being a refuge and a hiding place. You know, what do we do with that? It talks about the kingdom of God being like a net being thrown out. Wow. I mean, powerful stuff. It's asking us to image. Here it says in Colossians 3, verse 1 says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Set my sights on the realities of, like, look, like, set my sights. No, my sights. Set my heart, my subconscious mind. He's talking about your imaging ability. It says, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. I mean, that is so moving. It talks about fixing our eyes on things that are unseen. All right, let me show you this other thing. All right, I'll show you this really quick. So here you are, and this is like not some kind of trick or nothing. I'm not trying to, like, in the end, it's some amazing picture. It's not one of those things, okay? Basically, when you're born and you're growing up, you're a blank slate, just a blank page like this. And you have this level of rapid learning that's unbelievable. You watch mom and dad, you see things, you're putting it together, and you learn how you can learn German, you can learn two languages, you can learn all kinds of stuff. But then you reach a point where, you know, it's really difficult. But you're learning how to wire things. Like, here's how I respond to this. Here's what I do with that. You know, here's how I see this. And you're wiring this little board here, you know, with how you are, how you do things, how you operate, right? How you see, and you begin doing it. The more you go over and over these patterns, the deeper this wiring goes. Some of us have had experiences that we weren't made to have yet at that age, and they deeply impress in our hearts, scarring us, and we got to deal with that stuff, traumas and all these things. But we get wired. Your future, this is just so cool to me, is a blank page, guys. The next 3 years of your life, next 5 years of your life is a blank page. What is it? Don't know. But the easiest thing for us to do is to take this and copy and paste it the way we think, the way we've always done things, the way we see things, our responses, and copy and paste right on to our future into the next 5 years and recreate that. Some of us want to recreate it. I do not. I did not. When I found myself here in this place, I said, I do not want to copy and paste now into my next 5 years. No. But it's what we do. It's the easiest thing to do. If I handed out blank paper right now and I said, draw something, isn't that weird? Like, my granddaughter gives me a paper and says, draw with me, Pap-Pap. And I draw this picture I've drawn since I was like in sixth grade. I'm like, why do I always draw this stupid little dog? Like, it's just weird. But it's an example of what we do. And I had to face this down straight on. It's easy for me to think that life is just happening to me. I feel good, feel bad, happy, sad, based on what is happening to me. And it's so not true. It's really about the way I'm wired, the lens I'm looking through, how I see things, how I've always responded to things. In fact, the hard truth is that when I look back on defining moments of my life, and I'm talking about in the negative, defining moments of my life that have not went well, I see how I responded to certain situations or certain stressors, certain pressures, and I always buckled in the same way or did the same thing, and it's recreated all these problems. And that's the stuff that I'm going to rewire, and I'm going to go after it. I'm not going to keep responding that way for the rest of my life. I'm not going to do it. Now, one of the things this subconscious mind does is it keeps us safe. It's job to keep you safe. Okay, if you drop a knife and you stick the top of your foot, the next time you drop a knife, you're going to do a little dance, right? Whoa, I remember, like, it keeps us safe. And that's fine. But if a man that's in authority comes and hurts you, or church members come and do something that hurts you, and then when God put people in your life that are there to help, you treat them like a dropped knife. Okay, now it's not serving me anymore. And this is something my wife and I had to face in ourselves. Guys, and I know a lot of you guys will relate to what I'm saying. We trusted all the wrong people, and we didn't trust the right people. We were so backwards. Where we went when I was stressed out and in pain was right into the arms of the worst people I could be around. But I felt comfortable with them. They were very familiar. They were operating in familiar chemicals, ways of living. But the worst people I could run to, I always ran to them. And my wife and I said, what is this wiring? And we got to go after this stuff. We got to change some of this stuff. One of the things that on the Tuesday night change group we've been doing is they asked a question in our last session with the Genesis stuff, was to step outside of yourself when you're doing this behavior you want to change. And ask yourself this question, like take on the role of the observer and you're doing something you want to change, and just ask yourself, what would this person have to believe in order to be doing this behavior? What's going on in this person's mind that they're believing in order to continue doing such a behavior? And we just had so much fun with those questions. And so we have like what we call two arrows, right? The first arrow is what happens to you that you don't like. The first arrow is what happens to you. The second arrow is my response to what happened to me. And I want you to know how humbling, and if I go into this, I'll start bawling up here, and I'm not going to do that. But I want you to know it was so humbling for me to come to face how much suffering I created in my life and in the life of others because I refused to suffer. My refusal to suffer caused so much suffering, guys. It brought innocent people to their knees and broke their hearts. I crushed people because I would not suffer or enter it. Small example, stoplight. You know, there's 30 seconds, guys, where I don't get my way, right? I want to get through. I got to get through. I need to get through. I'm suffering. There's the first arrow. But you know, guys, I can begin creating, like I refuse to obey this and start having a meltdown. I can create so much suffering around refusing to enter into that suffering where I don't get what I want. Did you know people in other countries expect to not get their way, like, way more than we do here in America? I mean, they just expect suffering. They expect it. It's around every corner. They're used to it. I'm not used to it. So I want you guys to know, coming to face the truth of what am I not willing to feel, where I'm willing to pull a lever that's going to create so many problems for so many people and cost so much money to everyone around me, because I will not feel it. I won't feel it. And that's very humbling to me, guys. And you guys that know my story know what I'm talking about. So what oftentimes needs to happen, guys, is this old way of living, this way of operating, a wrench has to get thrown right into it. Bam! Mess that thing way up. Standing before the judge. Your Honor, that's the way I've always done things, you know? Something has to get taken from me. Something has to happen to where the reality of the way I'm living has to come. Most people don't enter recovery kayaking through Kauai. You know, I think I'll enter recovery. What a beautiful day. Most people enter recovery in the worst pain and the crashing of their lives. And I want you to know, the death of my wife and the annulment and all the stuff that fell into place for me to become who I was when I walked into Fairbanks, so broken, wailing in tears on this rooftop, it was the worst, greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I talk to God all the time. You tell her, God, what you're doing to me. Tell her, God, that you're changing me. Tell her, God, that I'm a little bit like the guy she thought I was. Tell her, God, you're working on me, that I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to feel pain. I'm honest. A wrench has to get thrown right in the middle of the way we operate. However it comes to each one of us, it's very, very different. I've heard guys happen to be, you know, covered in urine by a dumpster before they turned around and said, I am done. And I've also heard guys that had one friend make a sharp comment, like, you are a jerk. And they have turned their heels and changed. That was it. They didn't want to hear anymore. And I want you to know, what happens is we bring it to the cross. I told you this wasn't going to be a little cute picture, but it's not really. But I'm going to color this in a little bit. This is a cross, right? Okay? There's a cross. There's my future. Okay. This side of the cross, guys, I'm who I've always been. I look in my photo albums. I see who I was. I see the way I've operated. On this side of the cross, guys, I'm a brand new creation. I'm brand new. He's made me new. This is what he says here. A lot of us aren't real impressed when I say that, and that's because you haven't had an experience of the heart with being a brand new creation. On this side of the cross, there's ways I think, there's ways I've always operated. There's familiar, and familiar for me is dangerous. Trusting all the wrong people, guys. On this side of the cross, there's a new way. There's a new hope. There's new thoughts. I can wire this any way I want. It's a brand new thing. If I let the winds of God begin showing me pictures, letting him speak to me in the images of my heart, what would he show me? What would he show you? If you said, I'm going to give you some space, show me how you see me. You rewire this, God. Begin asking him to show you these pictures. On this side of the cross, I will not feel pain. I refuse to feel pain. I want a few more of those, a little more of those, and some extra ones of those because I'm going to need them. On this side of the cross, guys, I'm willing to suffer. Because if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords suffered, and that's part of our family trait, then I want to suffer with him. And I want you to know, on this side of the cross, guys, This is so real to me. On this side of the cross, guys, is sometimes Stan laying in the fetal position on my bed, detoxing, crying out, or craving. I won't act out. I won't move on these impulses. I won't call the dealer. I won't give in. This hurts so bad, and I feel so close to God because I'm suffering with Jesus. I feel it, and I embrace the suffering. I embrace it. I won't create more suffering by refusing to suffer. I'm suffering with God. And I know there's been two kinds of suffering in my life, the kinds of suffering that came from me refusing to suffer and the kind of suffering that came as he trained in me and began to turn my insides into a real warrior, into a son of God that is not afraid to suffer. Wow. Wow. That's different than the pain and regret, guys. Bruce Lee used to take, any Bruce Lee fans, right? I'm kind of like him because I'm Stan Lee, you know, I'm kind of like him. He used to take 3x5 cards and have statements on them that he thought were worthy to memorize, where he could recall them any moment. Does that sound like something that the Christian faith could have maybe part of? Like maybe in your life there's something like what's worthy to memorize? Let's see. The Bible. Yeah, right? He used to take statements like, when I square off, I hit you first. And he would memorize it. When we square off, I hit you first. Like that was one of his statements. And then he would take, knowing this whole thing about subconscious mind and the training of the ant and the elephant, he knew all about it. He would behold the picture. What does that look like as an image of when I square off with you, I hit you first, right? And then he got that picture. He worked on it. He put music to it. He began to have an experience of the heart with this statement that he at first just put to memory, but now it's becoming an experience. And then he would charge it with emotion. Guys, your subconscious mind loves images charged with emotion. The enemy knows that too. And then he would do muscle memory. What would it be like to move like a guy that hits you first? What would that be like to have muscle memory that part of every fiber of my being is a guy that hits you first? And I want you to know something. When people squared off with Bruce Lee, they would go, that guy is a freak of nature, right? He's a monster. He's a monster of a guy, man. Because something about that guy, when I square off, he hits me first, right? We've all known muscle memory, right? I know that we went to J.P. Jones, and they gave us a little code to get in. And we go, and I had it memorized. And then we went a few weeks without going in there. And I want you to know, guys, I forgot the number. And I'm like, I got out of the car, and I'm stressing out. I need to get in there. And I'm like, I don't know. I'll just go up there and see what happens. And guess what? Boop, 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 boop. My body remembered. My body remembered, right? And so that's what I'm talking about. What would it be like to move, to experience, to charge with emotion, to behold what God says as heart truth? Not just up here, but here. I'm talking about, guys, honestly, this is what separates men from the boys and the girls from the women and the ladies. When we're talking about the realms of the kingdom of God, the movers and shakers, this is what I'm talking about. Jesus was able to endure the cross because of the joy set before him. He saw it. He saw it. He knew it. He experienced it. Power, guys. Power. Okay? Really quick here. Let me read this. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. Peter said, "Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go from me." And when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees before him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," Jesus said, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Okay, real quick. This lady had an issue of blood, menstrual bleeding, for 12 years. And in Jewish culture, that meant she was unclean. And that meant, it wasn't like here, it meant she can't go into Fred Meyer, Safeway. Anything she touched was unclean and had to be washed in this big ceremony. Anyone she touched was unclean. She couldn't go to the stores. She couldn't go to the market. She couldn't go to church. She couldn't do anything. What would that do to you, being unclean? Right? And it's so interesting. The leader of the synagogue, Jairus, was walking there with Jesus trying to get his daughter healed. Guess who the guy was that made sure she couldn't get into the church? Jairus. That's the guy that made sure she wasn't going in. And she was the one that made this huge effort of, "I'm done with this. I'm touching Jesus." And I just love it because Jesus turns to her. And wasn't she embarrassed enough in her life? Wasn't she humiliated? Why start making this big stir? "No, wait, someone touched me. You know, no, wait a minute. She's here," right? And finally focuses in on her. Jesus makes absolutely certain that she didn't just sneak in, get her healing, and leave. He made absolutely certain that Jairus heard her testimony, the whole community heard her story, and then he heals her in the deepest way personally by calling her daughter in front of everybody. Wow. Like, this is the kind of devotional life I'm talking about, that God has called us to no longer have a legal relationship with God where it's about my behavior. It's about sonship. It's about being part of his family. It's about moving and breathing with him. And you have to have an experience of the heart where he calls you son. He calls you daughter. I stand in the shower, guys, and I let him tell me who I am. And there's a vibe that comes from your subconscious mind, your belief systems, your why. There's a vibe. Guys, you ever, especially you ladies, you ever stand there and talk to a guy and you're like, "I don't know what it is about this guy," right? But there's this vibe, right? Like, you guys know what I'm talking about. Because you can't hide it. There's a vibe that comes from what we believe, who we are in here, right? And I'm just going to ask you this. This is total praise to God. Is what I want to say is, do you get a vibe from me that I am this complete fiend of a crackhead, meth-using drug addict? Do you get that from me? Do you get this vibe from me?
No.
Do you get a vibe from me? I'm starting to get nervous because I'm afraid now I'm starting to do it. Like right when I ask someone, I twitch or something, like well, kind of. What was that? I remember lying to this girl about, she asked me, "Are you on drugs?" I remember just lying to her, "No, I'm not." And my eye twitched and my head went. And I was like, at the worst time. Dead giveaway. I want you to know the reason there's any peace or joy or confidence coming from my wife and I is because we spend so much time taking in his word, not just memorizing it. That's the first step. beholding it, seeing it, charging it with feeling, moving it into muscle memory, and becoming the very thing he's talking about in our truth, all right? Let me close out with this. Some signs that you might be changing your subconscious mind, okay? Because you probably are, and it's probably awesome. Your subconscious mind's always awake. It's never asleep. It's always taking in sounds. Everything that's going on around you, it's taking it in all the time. Especially when you're asleep, when you're tired, it's on, it's wide awake like a little kid. And so you're real careful about what you have on the TV, especially in the evening, what you go to sleep to, the atmosphere you live in. If you're doing that and you're aware of that, you're probably changing your subconscious mind. Way to go, guys. Good. Another thing that might be like a sign you're changing your subconscious mind, you're questioning your old beliefs. You're questioning how you've always done it, who you run to when you're in trouble, when you're in pain. You're questioning old habits. You're challenging your triggers. I'm not walking around you anymore. You're going to become something else to me, something awesome. I'm going to wield you, and I'm going to form you. If you're transforming your triggers, chances are, guys, you are changing your subconscious mind. Way to go. Another sign that you might be changing your subconscious mind is the picture you have of yourself. It's not draining. It's inspiring. If it's inspiring, chances are you're changing your subconscious mind. Congratulations. Way to go. Super good work. Awesome. Another sign you might be changing your subconscious mind is your muscle memory is taking shape. You're moving in a different way. You ever meet someone and go, what happened to you? Wow. Right? Like, boom. What in the world's going on? A brand new vibe is coming off of you. It was never there before. I remember my family coming the first time because they were just like, who is this Stan guy? He's always been a loser. He kind of always will be. Isn't he just trying to scrape up 20 bucks so he can get another rock? Like, what in the world's going on? And they watched me and went, what happened to that guy? Wow. If that's happening to you, you got a new vibe, you got a new muscle memory, you got a new posture, chances are you're changing your subconscious mind. Congratulations to you. Hats off. Way to go. Super good work. I want you guys to know that I want my InScape, I want the interior of my heart and my mind to be an awesome place to hang out. Because I got to spend a lot of time there. I want it to be beautiful in here. Yes, yes. If you enjoy hanging out in your interior, chances are you have done some serious work in your subconscious mind. Congratulations. If I had some chimes, I'd go all the way down the chimes. That would be so awesome. I need to do that. Now, I want you to know, as you guys know, with the ant and the elephant, and we've all heard it, if everybody was blindfolded and walked up to an elephant, put their hands on it, they would all describe something different. What's its purpose? What is it worth? What's it for? What is it? And they would all say something different, right? Because they're all experiencing like the tail's different, and the front and the side. And I want you guys to know something, and I know this, that there have been people, family, cops, probation officers, people all over the place that have had a hand on a part of your life, and they have told you what they see, what you're worth, what your purpose is, and I want you to know they only have a tiny little small blind spot that they're touching. Only God can back up and knows the whole picture of who you are. And I want you to know when it comes to my identity, who I am in my heart, only God has the authority to tell me who I am, what I'm for, and what I'm worth. And that's it. Good stuff. All right, April's going to be amazing. We're going to bring some powerful testimony. Megan's going to do an interview. It's going to be unbelievable. It'll solve all your problems forever. We have some great testimonies coming and stories. We're going to come at this, and from right here, as far as this teaching goes, we're going to go into God's recovery program, and I can't wait to bring it. It's going to be awesome, probably similar diagrams, but it'll be good. May my blessing be on all of you as we all go from here to change our subconscious mind, or what the Bible calls the heart. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the work you've done. You are mighty, and you are mighty to save. Reach to all of us tonight and show us the pictures and the images. Sky's the limits, God. You can do anything. I pray we would embrace the suffering that you ask us to. And you'd help us to relieve suffering in others' lives that you ask us to. But we would walk in this world as the sons and daughters of God. And we would not be ashamed of who you are and what you've done. And the message that changes lives. Transform lives. Transform lives. And I pray we would do it. Let your spirit be mighty and move among us. In Jesus' name, amen.